Voice of Business, presented by the Worcester Regional Chamber of Commerce, continues now. It is sponsored by Fidelity Bank, and joining us is the chairman and CEO of Fidelity Bank, Ed Manzi. Ed, good morning.
Good morning, Hank. How are you?
Hi, doing very well, thank you, and so excited because you have brought along with you today, you're going to be speaking with Worcester City Manager Ed Augustus and talking about what is happening here in the city and giving it your unique spin. And Mr. Manager, thank you so much for being with us today.
Good to be with you, Hank, and good to be with Ed.
Well, Ed, let me step out of the way so that the two of you can get to it.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Ed. I appreciate you. I know you got a busy schedule, and thank you for taking a few minutes out of your day to share your thoughts with all of us.
No, happy to be with you. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, I guess I'll, it's almost like the most common topic of the world today is the impact of COVID-19. So we'll start right in on that. We're all well into phase three of the state's reopening plan, and just wanted like your perspective on how the city and in particular Worcester businesses are responding to the phased reopening plan in your opinion.
I think by and large, everybody has done a very good job of adapting quickly, but, with a real commitment to following the protocols. So the protocols have been developed in a way that, make sure that science and, medical advice helps us reopen at the same time, keeping folks safe, keeping employees safe, keeping the customer safe, and keeping the community safe. We've seen in other parts of the country what happens when you don't follow those protocols, and nobody wants to be back where we were in March and April with everything shut down and, huge surges taking place. So I really commend our business community for really taking it seriously and being creative and innovative and opening in a way that I think is going to help us continue the progress that we're making in controlling the virus here.
And I think that's a great way to frame it, the idea of having the discipline in the short run to take the necessary steps with the upside long-term benefits are pretty clear compared to what you see in other places. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Really positive story that came out recently from the Bloomberg news source that Worcester is one of the cities that's likely to recover faster than many U.S. cities. I'm not sure if they had had considered the issue you just raised as part of their rationale, but they emphasized that because of our strength in both education and healthcare sectors. How do you think that our recovery is evolving and then, will be evolving in the weeks and months ahead?
Well, I think we're doing as well as you could expect to do. I mean, it's not going to be without its bumps. We've seen some, and I expect that there's going to be more. Everything is not going to survive, quite honestly. We've seen some of our restaurants and some of our small businesses, often they were maybe an older owner who was thinking about retiring in the next couple of years, and this helped accelerate the decision, or folks who were just really struggling to begin with and just, couldn't survive the couple of months of being out of business. So that's going to happen. It's unfortunate, but it's probably a reality of what we're all facing. That being said, I think Worcester's institutions, the way Worcester has positioned itself, is really an important part of the knowledge-based economy, which is, the way of the world, if you will. Eds and meds, kind of the backbone of our economy here, employing nearly half the people in our city. Those areas are not going anywhere. They're, as a matter of fact, more important than they've ever been. And so that gives us a good kind of baseline to continue to rebuild and reposition in this, post-COVID world that we're all navigating our way through.
Well, I really appreciate your realistic answer there. It's important to not be Pollyannish about this. It's something we've never experienced before, there's already some pain, and there's likely to be more, but the foundation upon which we're built is really the key. And a couple of things we want to talk about is the philanthropic foundation in the region. But before I get to that, on the not so positive news side, you know, we did hear last week from that Unum has decided to vacate their downtown office and shift employees to 100% remote. You know, in our banking business, we talk about that a lot. You know, we have lots of loans to office, you know, owners and things like that. And it's an interesting, you know, 6 months ago, we never would have thought about that as a likely outcome. Just curious what your thoughts about that, and maybe, if there's any future predictions you have regarding that issue.
Yeah, I think, I'd be dishonest if I said it wasn't a huge disappointment and a setback, quite honestly, for downtown Worcester. It's going to be awful hard to replace 400 employees in the downtown who, you know, go to lunch and, you know, go out after work and park in our parking facilities and just add life and vitality to the core of downtown. And, you know, we're going to have to reposition that space. We'll work with the Unum team. They want to try to find folks to come in and lease that space. We're probably unlikely to have somebody take all that space, so it's going to be, you know, a few steps or yards at a time to refill 400 spots. But I do think that, you know, there is a national, probably an international kind of revisiting of this whole notion of working from home, remote work. Even we as a city, so as a city, I have almost 2,000 employees myself. We were not, you know, very open to the notion of working from home. We had to become almost overnight as we sent employees home and tried to keep the business, the city government open, collecting, you know, $750 million of taxes, fees, fines, et cetera, processing all the functions of city government. And we were surprised how well we could do it, how well our employees adapted, how sophisticated and secure technology has become to allow them to do it. So I think a lot of organizations are rethinking that notion, and it is going to change the way we do development. So much of development is a bit about buildings and about creating density, creating, you know, feet on the street. And so I think we're going to all be learning in this new environment. Are there kind of temporary shared workspaces where, you know, occasionally people come together for staff meetings and, you know, trainings and things of that nature, but people are by and large working from home? What does that mean to the traditional office spaces that we have? And, you know, what's the amount of space we're going to need? And how do we make existing space more flexible and more conducive to kind of new work environment? So I think we're all in for a real learning curve here over the next months and years ahead.
Yeah, I think when we talk about it, there's a few points that I've heard that were interesting, that if you have a more diverse tenant base than one big tenant, you know, there's some stability in that, and it takes some of the risk out in the future, but the transition will be hard. On the location of workers, you know, we always had these off-site meetings, you know, to get people to go away. Now I've heard an interesting way. We're going to have a lot of people working from home, and we're going to have on-site meetings now. So yeah. Kind of reverse thinking. But just pivoting a little bit to the philanthropy, you know, the Worcester Together Fund has been just another remarkable example of our communities coming together and, you know, raising almost $10 million and distributing grants of about $7.5 million. One of the strengths here is our caring, collaborative approach to this. Just curious what your perspective is on what work's being done to support organizations, businesses, and residents that were hit the hardest, you know, by this outbreak.
Yeah, I mean, I think first and foremost, I mean, this is one of the reasons Worcester's a great place, because we have so many organizations, foundations, businesses that really are passionate about our community and about making sure that, you know, when there are needs, when there are crises like the pandemic, everybody just instantly pulls together. They figure out how to kind of rally to each other's sides and figure out what the needs are of the community and meet those needs. And, you know, I want to thank you and Fidelity Bank for being part of that brigade of great corporate organizations and and partners who always find a way to help the city and its people when there's a need. And, you know, $10 million plus dollars raised, more than half of it has gone out in the kind of immediate response, whether it be food, whether it be buying PPE for some of our not-for-profits who are delivering direct services, group homes, the homeless community, others. And the rest of the money really helping figure out how to reopen, reposition, recover. You know, we have cultural institutions that are employers that draw people into the community, and not-for-profits that are really part of the safety net in our city. They've been hard hit by the COVID pandemic, and a lot of them wouldn't probably be able to survive and continue to provide the important, you know, services they do or cultural programming that they do that make Worcester such a great place without this fund and without all the organizations that support this fund. So I just want to say thank you on behalf of Worcester and all of its people to Fidelity and to the United Way and to the Greater Worcester Community Foundation and for everybody who's been part of that, because it really was an indispensable part of us being able to get through the toughest part of the COVID pandemic.
Yeah, I mean, we're that's why we exist. We're a community bank, been around for 133 years. And if you think about that 133-year time horizon, there's been a lot of crises that the country and the region has been through. And, you know, we're only as good as the communities that we serve. So it's the right thing to do, and we're happy to do it. I guess last question, we only have a minute to go, but there's a lot of appropriate attention and focus on the Polar Park project, which is really cool. But there's a lot of other things you get going, the courthouse redevelopment, Worcester Public Library renovation, Main Street design. Can you maybe pick one of those and give us a quick update on, you know, how they're progressing and if they've been sidetracked a little bit by the pandemic?
It's like asking you to pick which kid you love the most. Not easy to do, but you know, they're all moving forward. Some hiccups here and there, delays, but everything's moving forward. I'll give you the courthouse maybe as the one of the kind of most immediate projects to come online. Probably toward the end of the summer, they'll start taking lease deposits for some of the units. There's going to be 115 units. When people get a look at what some of those former courtrooms and some of those amazing spaces in the old courthouse look like, everybody's going to want to move into that space and be in the middle of downtown Worcester, walking distance to Highland Street and, you know, all the goings-on, all the restaurants and opportunities there. There's going to be a major Taylor Museum, so there's a lot of talk about, you know, the Black community and the contributions to our history, and, you know, one of our favorite sons, if you will, Major Taylor, will be honored with a museum that'll be on the first floor of the old courthouse. So not only will it be housing, but it'll be another cultural offering in downtown Worcester and a way to learn about an amazing athlete who did some incredible things right here in the city of Worcester. So, you know, that's the most immediate one coming forward, but a lot of great things. The senior center, the library, South High School, you know, progressing nicely, and we're getting ready to start the design on Doherty High School, two brand new high schools here in the city of Worcester. So lots going on.
Well, Ed, thank you so much for that. You know, these things do not happen without passionate, talented leadership, and you are certainly really inspiration to all of us. I mean, you work collaboratively with the mayor, the local businesses, the nonprofits, the state, the federal. I mean, it's a great team we have, and we really appreciate the work that you do on our behalf. So I'll kick it back to you, Hank. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. Great conversation here on Voice of Business presented by the Worcester Regional Chamber of Commerce. That was the chairman and CEO of Fidelity Bank, Ed Manzi, speaking with Worcester City Manager Ed Augustus. And remember, you'll be able to, if you missed any of that program, you'll be able to get it and download it later on. Just look under Talk of the Commonwealth or head over to the chamber and they will have it as well. Straight ahead, let's talk about the Boys and Girls Club. That's coming up right here on Voice of Business, presented by the Worcester Regional Chamber of Commerce. It is sponsored by Fidelity Bank and Worcester Regional Airport, and you hear it right here on the Radio Worcester Network.